The hills are alive with the two fat expats. Oh, the gin has been poured with tonic and ice. Oh, we hope you enjoy our podcast. Oh, a rating or review would be very nice.
That took us how many goes to get?
Oh my god, way too many.
Oh, shivers. Oh, that was tough. Okay, Stairs.
Hello, welcome.
Hello, episode 4.
Yes, of season 2 of Two Fat Expats, the podcast where we concentrate on living a fat podcast life.
Or an expat life.
We like to live a fat expat life.
That's right. We like to live a fat expat life.
Because we're also a little fat.
I haven't even started the chemo yet and I've got chemo brain.
Okay. I've been blaming baby brain for 7 years. So
oh,
you can,
good.
You've got at least a few more years of chemo brain.
I have. Okay. So this week, we were talking last week about different things people have picked up.
Yeah, it sort of just happened. We were halfway through recording our last episode and we're like, oh, this would make a good episode.
Yeah, it would.
And things that you've learned as an expat.
Yeah, and things that you've learned as an expat.
And is it learned or learnt? I Googled this and I still couldn't get a straight answer.
No, I have had this when I've been writing as well, whether it's learned or
every time
or
I
learnt.
Went to write it on the Facebook page, I was like, is it learnt or learned? Learnt or learned?
Maybe if someone knows out there, they could send us
let
a message
us
and let us know.
And
what
apologies
they think
if
it
I got
is.
It grammatically. Incorrect. I think I went with learnt.
All right.
Because it was in the past.
So what have you learnt in your expat life?
We were in Abu Dhabi and Matt and I learnt how to salsa. We went to salsa lessons.
That's fantastic.
With another couple in Abu Dhabi and we had so much fun. It is such good exercise.
Do you think you would have done that in your Australian life?
No. It would have been very hard, I think, to convince Matt to do that in our Australian life.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you think a little bit of distance made him contemplate, okay, no one's going to see me.
That's right. And I think also there's such a hot mix of culture in the Middle East. So there's a lot of Latinos and what have you living here. So you kind of pick that up. Whereas I think in Melbourne or Sydney, we're already in our bubble.
Yeah.
Do you know
what
I mean? So I think the most lessons that anyone had ever done is maybe they'd gone to dance lessons before their wedding.
So do you think there would have been a little bit of, oh my God, Sarah and Matt are doing salsa dancing?
Yeah, I think it would have been totally get why Sarah's doing it because, as you know, I dance every day. But a big thing, Matt's doing salsa, the big guy's doing salsa. But he was really good at it.
He would be because he is an amazing dancer.
And you know, he was so we were in the beginner's class and our instructor was this tiny little whippet of a thing and she used to use Matt as as an example.
Yeah.
So I'm a large-ish woman and Matt has to hold on tight when he's on the dance floor with me. So he took the same grip on this little lady and when he went to twirl her, he pushed her so hard she literally flew into the mirrors. That was like our first or second lesson in. But we had, and I hadn't thought, I want to get back into salsa here.
But he can really move because I remember the first time I met you, which I don't know if you can really remember. We met, but we didn't meet. We were in sort of the same vicinity. And it was either a Melbourne Cup thing or something. We were at the rugby club. And we all went.
Melbourne Cup.
And we all went across and the band was playing.
Yes.
And
yeah.
And you and Matt were dancing. And I remember saying to Greg, oh, my God, those two look like so much fun. And they can really move. Like, you were really on fire.
I do love, I love to dance.
Yes, you do.
I love to dance.
And you do all the facial expressions with the songs when you dance. Like, there's no...
I feel like I'm in a video clip.
You do.
Yeah. That's me.
You're good.
I love it. I cannot tell you the passion I have for dance. Dance. So I dragged Matt into it. So we learned how to solve. And now I'm putting it out there. I want to do it again.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Do it.
Oh, and they
do
lessons
that
here. Yeah, they've got it at the Hilton and the Radisson Blue Hotel. There's plenty of places to do it.
And what else have you learned?
Well, the big thing was moving to Doha. Obviously, I've said it a million times. I hated the place when we first arrived. And I think coupled with that was that we were going through a lot of infertility problems, and I'd had a number of miscarriages, and it seemed after each miscarriage I decided to take up a degree.
Right. Yes.
I never went to university after school. I got straight into work. I travelled and then I got straight into work, and I never really felt the need to have a degree because I got to where I needed to be without having it. Yeah. I started at the very, very bottom in admin and just worked my way up, and I never felt that I needed that degree or that I was diminished because I didn't have that degree. I did very well in my career, but it wasn't until we moved here to Doha and all of a sudden things were much slower. I only had the one child compared to the three or four I thought I was going to have.
And you have to have a degree to get a decent job.
And you
here.
Do have to get a degree. Like on it, as someone said on your Facebook page, even to sit on a reception desk here in Doha, you need a degree. And so I've done three different types of degrees.
Yes.
So I started off with a Bachelor of Arts, majoring in English and Modern History, and that was also almost just to prove to myself that I could do it.
Yeah.
And I loved it, and it's probably something that I want to go back and finish, actually. And then we decided to go back onto the IVF train, so I gave up uni, got pregnant, lost the baby. Right, better go back to university.
Right.
So this time I did an education degree.
Yeah.
Wasn't the degree I thought it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
I still think I'd be a very good teacher and I'd love to be a teacher, but I didn't enjoy the degree.
I think you'd be a great teacher.
Yeah, it was the degree part, and that's kind of why I kind of need that if I want to be a teacher. So I've put that to the side. And then again, IVF, trying everything, had a miscarriage. Ooh, I might start blogging.
You're right.
Ooh, I might start a blogging business.
Yes.
With a very experienced blogger. I was not an experienced blogger, but I'm going to start this business anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, let's do a podcast.
Yeah.
Hmm. Better back this up with some credentials. So that's where I'm at now, doing my third degree, internet communications, and I love it.
Yes.
Because it makes sense to me.
Exactly.
I come from an advertising, marketing, PR kind of background. And it's very, very similar to that. And so it makes a lot of sense to me. And I love it. I love it.
And I think that this is where people get the wobbles with the whole, I started one that didn't work out and I started another one. We have a really great listener in Singapore, Kelly, who has just started, well, not just, I think it was a couple of years ago, for the third time started yet another degree. And she cracked it, like it's the best one for her, and she's now absolutely flying through it. She gets high distinctions for everything, but she, you know, effectively failed the first two because they weren't the right ones for her.
So keep on wobbling until you get it.
You've got to keep on wobbling,
and forget that you don't have the confidence to do it, or you're not smart enough to do it, or you haven't written an essay in goodness knows how long. Forget all of that, because when you study your degree and you're doing it online, you are studying with people that are all like you.
Yes.
You're not studying with 18 and 19 year olds straight out of high school.
Yeah.
You're studying with other women and men that are doing it to advance their career or just out of pure interest.
Yeah.
Some people have never written an essay before. Yeah. Some haven't written an essay in years and years and years and years. And you're all, I've made some really lovely friends studying online, and it's not lonely. I thought it was going to be lonely.
Yeah.
But it's not.
And I think sometimes our partners can be our worst enemies when it comes to starting these things, because I think a lot of times if you have started a couple of things, like if you've gone gung-ho, I'm going to start this business, or I'm going to start this, and now I'm going to start this, sometimes it can be someone's partner that goes, oh, what are we doing this time, you know, giggle not realizing that they're denting your enthusiasm every time, because you start to go, oh, maybe I should, because I mean, I have started and not completed lots of things, and it's not that Greg's being particularly mean, it's just he's making a joke about what are we going to do next.
Matt Knight, he is my biggest fan when it comes to these things, because he knows that I can do it.
Yes.
So when I'm doubting myself, he's the one that's saying, stop being silly, you can do it, you get great marks, right?
Yeah.
But we do have a giggle about the ideas that I come up with a lot.
Yes. And, you know, when I went to the Pro Blogger conference in August, that was one of the things Darren Rouse talked about, was he has started something like 200 different blogs.
Wow.
Yes. And when you talk to Chantel from Fat Mum Slim, and she says to you, everyone talks about my ideas that have taken off, but nobody talks about the ideas that just fizzled. And she said there were hundreds of them because she's the photo a day challenge person. And you look at different companies that started off being something completely different to what they are now.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's the thing. You have to keep rolling along. Don't
finally
roll with the
punches. Find your groove.
You will find your groove, but don't give up if the first thing doesn't work, because you know there'll be another thing and another thing, and you will eventually find what your thing is. And if it's not study, it can be changing careers, as we've seen with the lovely Ali Longmate from Fit Club here. We interviewed Ali last season. Ali had been a lawyer in London.
Yes, high-flying corporate.
Very.
Yeah.
Like, very, very.
She even said, I think at one stage she was sleeping at the office, wasn't it? Like she was working 24/7.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then came to Qatar with her partner and two young children and changed completely and started doing personal training and started Ali Fit Club.
Mm-hmm.
And during the week, you and I both saw on Facebook, we were very proud of Ali.
Ali won a very special business award from the British Embassy.
She did.
And it was awarded to her by the Countess of Wessex, Sophie.
I know.
Yes.
God, I hadn't seen her for a while.
Well, I think since Kate came in. So I think...
Sorry. She's old news.
A little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Because she was the first commoner to become part of the royal family. Yeah. And then Kate came and stole the thunder.
Yeah. I'm more common than you. And I've got better bangs. Yeah.
But congratulations to Ali, because that just really shows how to completely reinvent yourself.
Yeah.
In your expert. I mean, going from a high-flying corporate lawyer to starting your own personal training business and then winning a huge award.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
So congrats, Ali.
I agree. Now, obviously, we're all very different in how we come here. So some expats will come on for their own career. Mm-hmm. And if you're, you know, the IT manager for Nike in London and you're the IT manager for IT manager in Qatar, it's still really the same
job.
It's just culturally different. Mm-hmm. So it was interesting sort of putting the message out there this week when I was asking people what they'd learned, because I didn't really get a lot of notes from women who were currently working as to what they've learned, because I guess they're busy working and they're probably learning a lot culturally about how things are different, but they probably don't.
Their day-to-day job is
kind of the same. I did hear a lot from women who had to either do an Ali where they'd got somewhere and completely restart and re-kick their career.
Yeah.
Or women that sometimes working, they didn't have a visa because they were travelling with their partner.
Yeah.
And they had to go into a whole different mindset about what it was that makes them them.
Yes.
And what defines them and what doesn't define them. And so many women I spoke to this week said, I learnt that my job doesn't define who I am as a person.
Yeah.
Which was great. But I want to start with Ing, because Ing she's actually lived in Doha before, and she's from Belgium and they're currently in Brisbane. But she's lived in Doha, she's lived in South Africa, she's lived in Thailand, and she's lived in the Seychelles.
Oh, wow.
And I was completely inspired by her. Mm-hmm. And we had a little bit of a love-in at the end of our chat because she was all, can you please keep writing, because I've been reading for years. And I was all, I think you're amazing. And because I really did. She really, there were so many little things she said that really got me. But let's have a little listen to Ing.
Well, in Thailand, I started to join a group of older ladies who were all busy doing crafts with sewing machines. I had never seen a sewing machine from nearby. So at the end of our assignment in Thailand, I convinced my husband to buy me a sewing machine. And by the time I had it, we packed up for South Africa. And there I started to take classes in quilting and in dressmaking. And so that was about 13 years ago, and by now I am an experienced quilter.
And so do you have quilts from all over the world?
Yes, and my biggest pleasure is making quilts for other people as gifts. So by now, after 13 years, there's a whole lot of quilts spread all around the world with memories attached to it. So that's really special.
It's almost like you've left little pieces of you.
Yes.
You also mentioned something about French classes.
Yes, I am a translator from profession. So obviously when I joined my husband as a trailing spouse, that all came to an end. And languages have always been my passion. So in Doha, I was actually asked to give private classes in French, which I thoroughly enjoyed. I did both adults and children. I used to work from my home. I really, really enjoyed it, and I did it right to the end. And at some point, I was asked by the school that my kids attended if I was interested in a maternity leave from the French teacher. So all of a sudden, I was a full-time French teacher for 6 months, and I really, really enjoyed it.
You also speak, am I right, Italian, Danish, and Swedish?
Yes, well, I'm a translator by profession, so that is French, Spanish. My mother tongue is Dutch, and so Belgium is very special. We have three mother languages, so Belgian, French, and German. And so my love for languages never died. Unfortunately, the Middle East, Doha, was not the place to continue my love for languages. I did try to do Arabic, but my amazing teacher left, so I stopped that. And then arriving in Brisbane, I was overwhelmed by the possibilities you have here to do languages. So I started to pick up my Italian again, and I added on Swedish and Danish. So I'm doing three nights now at UQ, University of Queensland, with three different languages, and I love it.
There's another thing as well. Is it photography?
Yes, that's one of the things that has always impressed me. I have a good eye for what I would like to put on a picture, but I never had the skills, so it kind of put me off to pick up the camera and make pictures. And again, being in Brisbane, I looked at it in Doha, but it really frustrated me that the only course available was in Arabic, so I couldn't join. And so I arrived here, looked it up, and started doing classes. So yeah, Brisbane has been an amazing place to do things and to explore things. And I actually forgot one big passion, that is I started to play the piano. So I'm brand new to it. It's been a year now that I do tutoring, but I just love it. So these are all the things that I always had in the back of my mind, and that for sure I would have never picked up if I wasn't an expat.
And why do you say that, Ing? Why do you think you wouldn't have done these things if you hadn't been an expat?
Lack of time, probably. Before I became a trailing spouse, I was a full-time, I worked full-time. I was also a full-time single mom for quite a bit because my husband had been an expat before we ever got together. And I kept being alone. So he was abroad, I was on my own, until our first son was 14 months. And then I decided to join him. So there was just no time to do any of those activities. Second, back home in Belgium, none of those, like everybody is in this atmosphere of working full time. There is just not that many opportunities to go for quilting classes or photography or extra languages. So because I became an expat, all of a sudden you're in this different kind of world, only your kids and not a job, and only your household. And I wanted something for myself, something that had nothing to do with household, children, being a wife, something just for myself. So that's how I picked it up. And unfortunately, not all the countries that we have lived in offered opportunities. I have done Thai cooking, Thai massage classes in Thailand, done a whole lot of other things in Doha. And now I look at it, every assignment comes with a bucket list, because every time I think, what if the next project I cannot do things. There is not going to be the opportunity to do things. So Brisbane has offered me all this broad spectrum of being able to do things, and I just grasp it with both hands. And yes, it comes with a price tag, and it comes with like trying to fit everything to my busy week as a mother and a wife. But I do make that commitment because it enriches me as a person, and it enriches me just because it's something for me, myself, and I. And I love it. And God knows what the next project will be. Maybe I won't have the opportunity. Maybe it will be another thing. But I really, really love it. Grasp every opportunity you can. It might not be necessarily an organized class. It might not necessarily be something that you would have considered if you were working. It might not be the most thrilling experience, but just grasp it. It broadens your spectrum, and you might not realize it, but you meet new people, you get new experiences, and at the end of the day, that's all what it is about. Just broaden your vision on everything.
I love her.
I love her more. Now, do you know why I was saying to her at the end? I was just saying, you are an inspiration to everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, and because my mum quilts.
Yes.
And every night when I tuck Sadie into bed, it's with my mum's quilt that she made her. Yeah. And they are very special quilts.
Do you know, she was saying there's a little boy in her daughter's class who's had cancer, and he's just finished all of his chemo. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things she did was she wanted to find out a little bit more about him, and she found out who his favourite football team was.
Yeah.
And she has made a quilt, but she got the football team, who are a big football team in Brisbane, to each sign a panel with their numbers and stuff. And anyway, when they found out what it was for, they said, well, can we give it to him?
Oh.
And she said, so when we leave, no matter what, there'll be a little bit of my daughter that's left in Australia with someone because that's what we did. So I'm getting a little bit emotional. But I just thought it really struck me that she has, with her quilts, left a piece of her in every location she's been.
And something that started off as a hobby, something to do.
Yes. And I think, you know, you and I were talking just before this, and I was saying my mum is an accountant, and she's a woman who's great with numbers and organisation, but she cannot find her creative bone. And I think the biggest gift my mum gave me was, I think it's very easy as women of our generation to get caught up with, you know, well, we want to be educated, and we want to have great careers, and we want to be strong and powerful, and we want equal rights. And somewhere in amongst that got lost that it's okay to knit and sew and bake and do all of those things. Yep. It doesn't make you less of a woman to do it. And
especially if you love to do
it. That's right. And so my mum spent her whole life trying to find her things. I was saying to you, she went to macrame classes and she sucked. And she went to sewing classes and she sucked. And she went to everything she could, trying to find what her outlet would be.
Yep.
But it's not. It's being an accountant.
Yeah. That's her craft.
Yes, but she also made me really appreciate the women who could do those things because she fawned all over them. Oh my gosh, look at that cake that Gwen's made. Oh my gosh, look at Sue made that skirt. You know, she was always so enamored with people that could do that. Yeah. And I think we need to remember that, because you were saying about judging people.
Yeah, well, my mum's very, very crafty. She knits, she sews, she quilts. I remember in the 80s we did like puffer paint t-shirts and like our school holidays were crafting. My sister got my sister's an artist. She got that gene. Yeah. I didn't get it.
Yeah.
And I would love nothing more than to sit down and sew.
Yes.
I would love, because I don't know, I texted Mum the other day and I said, oh, Sadie wants this certain type of skirt and I can't find it. And Mum straight away, oh, I'll make it for her.
Yeah.
You know, it's, so my hat's off to women that can, I would love to do that.
And I think it's very therapeutic.
Oh, whenever Mum's had a really bad day, she will lock herself. She has her own little room. Yeah. It's her sewing room.
Yeah.
And it just releases everything for her. But, what we were talking about before is, I think where we let ourselves down, and it is so sad, is that women judge other women all the time for their choices. Where we let ourselves down is people judge.
Yeah.
People are judging the woman that's decided to stay home and raise her children and bake cakes.
Yeah.
People are judging the woman that's decided to have, she needs to work, and it might not even be financial reasons. She just needs to work. That makes
for
her a better person.
Health. Yeah.
And they have a part-time nanny. That woman gets judged. Yeah. And I am sick of it, because it's not men judging these women.
No.
It is women judging these women.
That's right.
And it is probably my number one gripe in life.
Yeah.
Like, I've got a girlfriend that needs to work, not for money, but she needs to work. That makes her a better wife and a better mum.
Yeah.
And I've got other friends that are very happy being a stay-at-home mum. They love it. They relish in it.
Yeah.
It was something I always thought I was going to do. This absolutely surprises the hell out of me that I'm standing here doing this, because honest, I grew up wanting to be a stay-at-home mum. What I wanted to do.
I also think too, you never know when you're going to change your mind, because
able to change your mind.
Yes. And so I think people that are stay-at-home mums that are judging work people, particularly if you've got little children, just be aware that you might change. Mm. You might find your kid gets to a certain age and you go, well, hang on, they don't kind of need me like they used to need me, and I might need a bit more.
Yeah.
And or it might be the flip side. You might. I have a friend who actually stopped working when her children got to high school, because she felt that's when they really needed her. But that's all by the by, and it's none of our business.
Absolutely. It's whatever makes you happy and whatever is the right thing for your family.
I spoke to a really interesting Australian woman called Michelle, and she's currently in China, but she talked about all the different things that she had picked up along the way. So she'd done mahjong in Vietnam.
I am desperate to learn mahjong.
And you know what?
I am desperate to learn it.
She absolutely loves it.
I really. Do you know what my thing is?
Twice a week.
I want. But mahjong's not a card game, is it? It's
no.
More
it's the
with
one
tiles.
With the, it's yeah.
Yeah. But I want
in the box, and it's got the triangles.
More than sewing, I want a game.
Yes.
I want either a card game, I want mahjong.
I would highly recommend mahjong or canasta.
Yes, canasta. I love it. I want it. I've never played either, but that's what I want.
She had also learnt to run, and she said she was not a runner, but they got to Guam, and that was the only social thing that was happening in Guam. There was one of those running clubs.
Matt, if you're listening, never take a job in Guam. We will fail miserably.
But now she's into macro photography. And I said,
what's that?
That's when you do the really, really close-up of something.
Oh, so like the raindrop on the leaf.
Yes. And like she said, once you've photographed a fly up that close and seen how truly hideous it is, you're hooked on, okay, I want to get up close to every bug, every leaf, every whatever. And so she just does that in China, and she's learning how to read Chinese. Now, I said to her, have you been able to work, you know, in any of your locations? And she said, no, but, you know, I don't know if I would have. And I've never been defined by my career. And I think that's where the conversation stops, and you go, oh, that's cool. Because I could see Michelle was kind of searching for an answer. It was like, no, you don't have to justify it.
Do you think
it.
Sometimes we feel guilty for saying,
I think
like she's like, answered it, I don't define myself by my career, but sometimes I know. I used to say, I'm just a stay-at-home mum.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
I think it's very much like the Caesar versus the vaginal birth, you know?
Yeah.
I had to have a Caesar, and now I'm going to tell you why.
Yes.
Rather than just, I had a Caesar.
Yeah.
And that's it. And we don't need
We're
to go any
constantly justifying ourselves, aren't we?
Yeah.
I'm a stay-at-home mum, but I used to work in advertising.
Yes.
That was me.
Yes.
That was me.
Yeah. Okay, so the flip side of that, I guess, is when your expat life launches you into a new career.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when we spoke to Sarah, who is an Australian expat, and she's a regular Two Fat Expats listener.
Yes.
Every Monday morning she goes for a walk and listens to the podcast. Aww. And I cannot imagine how bizarre it's going to be for her this Monday.
She's going to be listening to herself.
Because she'll be listening to herself. Sarah came to Doha for her first expat stint. And then she moved to New Zealand, and she talks about how expat life sort of set her on a different path. So we'll have a little listen to Sarah, okay?
I'm working for a migration company. So we have some recruitment people, and then we have a specialist visa team. So when somebody gets a job in either New Zealand or Australia, they can come through us and we will do all of their paperwork for them and facilitate getting their visa for them.
Do you think this is a role you could have done had you not been an expat?
I think I could have, but it would have been a lot harder. Just from an administrative point of view, talking to people and collecting paperwork really is essentially what I do. But having that understanding means I'm a lot more patient with them and understanding that they are making a massive change, that they're moving halfway around the world. Most of them are coming from... There's a lot from the UK and Europe, some from Canada and the US. And then, of course, we've got Filipinos who often have come to Middle Eastern countries where they haven't had such good conditions. So it's a massive change for them. And having that background and understanding makes it the relationship much, much easier and better for them.
And what did you do pre-expat life? What did you do in Australia?
I was in IT and had a 10-year break. I decided to be home with the kids until they went to school. So when my son went to school, I'd been out of the workforce for a very long time, so my IT qualifications just weren't relevant anymore.
Do you think it was your role in sort of travel and your expat life that actually got you interested in this role?
Absolutely, without a doubt at all. I saw the ad and was instantly interested, thought, oh, that sounds fantastic. I wrote my cover letter to highlight my time in Qatar, and they saw it, rang me the very next day. I put my application in late on the day before. Got a phone call in the morning, was interviewed the next day and started work with them within 2 days of that.
Wow, that's fantastic. Being around all these people that are immigrating, does it make you itchy to move again, or you're quite happy now to stay put?
Yes, it makes me itchy. I think about the places that they're coming from, and it's funny because they can't wait to be where I am, either in New Zealand or Australia. So we do both countries, and I look at where they are and think, oh, wouldn't it be wonderful to be on that side of the world again, and so forth. And I know that my company has branches in other countries, so there's sort of a little exit plan there if and when we do move.
So do you have any advice for someone? Because, I mean, when you took off on your first expat adventure to Qatar, I mean, you had no way of foreseeing that this is what it was going to roll out to. What's your advice for, I guess, particularly women who are looking to see the opportunity in their situation?
To base a network, to get to know as many people as you can, and just be really open to possibilities. There's so much that you can do and so much that you can learn, and then be able to pass that gift on to other people. I could never have imagined doing a job like this, and it's just so precious to be able to give that to people, to the confidence of knowing you can do this and I get it. And I think that as an expat you learn so much about strength that you can pass on to everyone around you.
I think what makes Sarah the perfect person for that job is that she has empathy for these people because she's been there. Yeah. So it's not just an admin paper processing job for her.
Yeah.
She said she's got a passion for it, and she feels for these mm-hmm. people because she's been in the exact same position
yeah.
as them. And it's probably a job she would never have considered had she not had an expat life.
Yeah, that's right. And I think it's like when you get a relocation company and the person there has never moved before in their life, and you're like, you don't understand.
They have no clue,
which yeah. happens a lot. So, yeah, I thought she was just perfect for the role.
Yeah.
But I also loved just her perspective on it, of what it's like to watch other people doing it.
Yeah, it makes me feel that's what I think travel agents would be like sometimes, like sitting there booking all these holidays for people and, oh, I wish I was going there.
Yeah.
But it's great that her company has offices elsewhere.
Yeah. That's
right. She can move on if she wants.
So the flip side of that, I guess our last interview today, I really, really wanted to include it because it's Felicity, and she popped up on the Facebook feed because mm-hmm. she had seen when we'd asked the question, what have you learnt? So many people said, oh, I've started this business, or I've got a new career, yeah. or I'm doing this amazing craft, or I'm selling art or whatever.
Yeah.
And she really felt that a big thing that was being missed in the opportunities of expat life was she'd been given the chance to be a stay-at-home mum.
Ah, okay.
And she had previously worked in London and worked a big job.
Yeah.
And had taken the opportunity to be an expat just solely to spend some time with her kids.
Oh, fantastic.
And I think
I think that's what happens to a lot of, I mean, that was the reason we moved to Abu Dhabi.
Yeah.
Was I wanted to be a stay-at-home mum, and the move to Abu Dhabi helped us able to do that. So I think a lot of families make that choice.
And I think what people are going to find really interesting is what Felicity's perspective was after she'd had both lives and not what she preferred, but what she learnt from the process.
Oh, okay.
Both myself and my husband were both working full-time jobs. I was working in the financial services sector. So early starts, late finishes, and our daughter was at nursery from 7 o'clock in the morning until 6 o'clock in the evening, all day, every day.
And how much maternity leave did you get to have with your daughter before you went back to work?
Well, she started nursery at 3.5 months, not full time straight away. It was she started just part time, and I just did the odd bit here and there as required, and then she went full time from 6 months. Obviously, because we came from the UK, I could have taken longer. But at the time, I was just moving up with the career, so I wanted to keep going. I didn't think if I took much longer, it would be beneficial.
And then, so how old was she when you guys left the UK to come to Doha?
She just turned 2, so it was one of the reasons we came here was that we did feel a bit like we were always palming her off on someone else or on each other, and so it was kind of when the opportunity arose, we both jumped at the chance to be able to do something different. And I thought I would love not working.
And that was the reason why, Felicity, I chose your answer to the question, because I was asking about what do you think you've gained. And you were saying that you noticed a theme in the answers.
That's right. A lot of people took the opportunity to start new businesses or start new careers. I haven't been able to find the right thing for me, but what I did take the opportunity to do was to stay at home, as that was what we'd thought. I'd always thought whilst working, I'd always thought to myself, I'm not doing a very good job as a mum, I'm not doing a very good job as a work colleague, because I'm trying to do both. And so I'd always thought to myself, of my friends who were able to not work, I'd always thought, gosh, they're able to give their children so much more than I ever can. So I thought, well, that you have when you live in the UK, of mortgages, bills, school fees, all the rest. So that for me was a major driving force behind them saying yes, let's move somewhere completely different.
And so now that you've had the flip side, like you say, that expat life has given you the chance to be a full-time mum, now that you've done both, you've been the full-time working in the office mother and you've done the full-time at home mother, do you still feel the same way? Do you still look at that time and say, you know, because you were saying you were quite envious of women that were staying home. Do you still have the same view on that?
Not really. When we do go back, I will go back to full-time working, and I have another son now who's young as well, so he'll be in the same position, although not quite as young as my daughter. But I won't feel guilty. I think that's the secret. I don't think the children lose out by you being at work. And at the time, I thought she was missing out on everything, but it wasn't really. I think personally, possibly I was missing out, but she was just as happy at nursery as she is remember when I was working all the time. She doesn't even remember last week, so it's not something that parents should feel totally guilty that they're not able to do when the children are young. So, and I think, I mean, the main thing for me, the big adjustment for me was actually not working. At first I hated it and I thought, oh no, what have I done? But I did get into the swing of things, a few playgroups down the line. And then when I realised they weren't the right kind of playgroups, set up your own playgroups. And then, yeah, and then you find out other things to entertain yourself. And then you also find out what you really want to do. So I think it is good to try both sides and then you see where you want to be.
So what do you think has been the best thing that expat life has given you?
Definitely family time. I don't know if, well, anyone who knows Doha, there's not a massive amount to do, shall we say. So you do hang out together as a family a lot more. It's a lot less of, oh, we're doing this. Oh, well, let's all go and do this. Let's do that. It's much more, right, well, we've got a choice of three things to do, so let's all do this thing. And it's and you do spend a lot more time as a family, all four of us now. We do hang out a lot more together. You don't want to drive anywhere because it's a pain in the neck, the traffic. So you tend to just go locally or head out into the desert or whatever it is. But you're not making massive plans for the weekend, and you haven't got the in-laws or the family to worry about. You don't have to plan weekends of visiting people here, there and everywhere. And yeah, so you do a lot more family stuff, which has been really nice. And I hope, even though my children probably won't remember it much, I hope they remember the family unity we had when we lived here.
I loved hearing it from the flip side.
Yes.
And you know what? And when she said, you know, my daughter doesn't remember last week, it's so, because Matt has just started a new job, which is going to take him away sort of every 2 weeks out of the month. Mm-hmm. And that's a big change for us. And for someone who's very much a hands-on dad, he's struggling with that. And he's starting to feel guilty. And it was funny because my mum said to me, well, do you remember that Dad wasn't home every night for dinner because Dad was starting his own business? I said, no. Mum said, you know, Dad was not home. He was working from, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning till 9 or 10 o'clock at night, getting the business going. But when I look back on my childhood, I remember Dad being at the ballet recitals and the tennis comp, all of those major things in my life.
Yeah.
I remember him being there. I don't remember that he wasn't there to have meatloaf on a Sunday night or Monday night. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's what I've been starting to say to Matt. She's not going to remember that you went there last Wednesday when we had spaghetti bolognese.
Yeah.
But she's going to remember that you stood up and cheered the loudest at her dance recital.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, good. Felicity was really honest then, and it was...
Yeah.
Because you do have the guilt.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
My mum said to me years ago, when we were living in Libya, our book group read the... I don't know how she does it, you know. And I remember I got really cross because at book group, everyone was talking about it and talking about it, and I had a 2.5-year-old, so I'd only been out of the workforce for 2.5 years, and I read, I don't know how she does it, getting really annoyed that she just kept whining about it. It was like, well, either just quit work or get on with it, and which was not the right thing to be thinking. And you know, years down the track, I got it when I was working full time with kids. But I remember saying something to my mum about it, my mother always worked our entire lives. And I said to her, oh, well, you worked and, you know, I don't feel like I missed out on anything. And she said, no, darling, you don't feel like you did, but I certainly do.
Yeah.
And it really hit me. Like, it was like a real, I guess you did.
Yeah.
You know, because, and it was odd, it was the 70s, so it wasn't normal for all.
And then on the flip of that again, my mum who didn't work, she was there for everything. Like, you could not get away. There was no coming home from school to have the house to yourself, to eat things you weren't supposed to do and smoke things you weren't supposed to smoke. She was there. But for her, it was, oh, but I didn't have that career. You know, like, that's something,
We're all always going to be wondering whether it was right.
Oh, absolutely.
Or wrong,
and as Felicity said, if you can, have the chance to do both and then you'll work out what is right for you.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Okay, so I think we've covered it, but I really enjoyed that episode. I loved how there were so many women that gave fantastic answers for things they did.
And it doesn't have to be the whole career thing. It can be, I learnt how to stand up paddleboard.
Yes.
I learnt how to surf. I learnt how to sew. I joined a book club. It can be.
Yeah. I'm so trying to think because we had so many comments of what people did. Maybe we could take a few of those and put them on the running sheet on the website.
Might give some people some good ideas of what they want to do.
Yeah. But there were some great ones. So we'll add them to the.
To the show notes.
To the show notes, which when we say the show notes, we just mean to the website.
To our website. It's just a fancy way of saying it's our website, which is twofanexpats.com.
Okay. So you found a couple of articles as well.
Yeah, just really general articles. was, one was like a snippet of all different expats, mm-hmm. and there's the lessons that they had learned during their expat journey. And another one was that whole term trailing spouse, which we hate that term, mm-hmm. but it is a term I think that has stuck. Mm-hmm. And it really is the story about how a woman found herself mm-hmm. as a trailing spouse, even though we hate that term.
Right.
Because we don't trail.
No, we don't trail.
We forge ahead and we do. They follow.
Yeah, they sure do. And your social media pics.
Yes. So I've got a podcast this week called Lore. And it's, if you like spooky, scary, do you like scary movies?
No.
Okay, maybe this is not the podcast for you. So it takes all of those, so like the first episode, for instance, is actually the history of vampires, because obviously vampires don't exist, mm-hmm. but it's how that story of the vampire came about.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting. It's got some spooky background music to it, and it's a twice weekly podcast.
Yeah.
And it's about those scary stories that we hear time and time again, but actually the history of where they came from mm-hmm. and how they came to be. So I found it really interesting.
Oh, wow.
If you're into scary stuff.
Yes. And Stitcher. Tell me about Stitcher.
Yes.
Because we're on Stitcher and I don't know what that means.
Yes.
But I did hear Darren Rouse on his podcast talking about podcasts, about Stitcher.
Yes.
And so I immediately handballed it off to you saying, Sarah,
I'm going
to
become all things Stitcher. So at first we weren't sure if it was an app, because I'm an Android user. My phone is Android.
That's what I thought it must have been.
Yeah, so we thought, because I use an app called Podcast Addict to listen to podcasts on my phone, because on a Samsung you don't have iTunes.
Yes.
So we thought Stitcher was going to be something like that.
And it's not.
So it is for Apple and Android users.
Right.
So you can download the app onto any of your devices, or you can listen to it on your laptop or your computer.
Okay.
And then so I searched for us. We weren't on Stitcher.
Right.
Oh my gosh. How do we get on Stitcher? So then I signed up. And we are now, you can now listen to us on Stitcher.
Right.
But what it does for us, because we like to have as many ratings and reviews as we possibly can to get us up in the charts.
Yes.
If people are listening to us through Stitcher, and apparently it's the number one app that people do listen to podcasts through, it gets us as a podcast further up.
Oh.
And the more you have to do with Stitcher, the more Stitcher will help you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So for our listeners out there, all of that is gobbledygook to you. Don't worry about it. But if you're, I think this is really important for anyone that's using a Samsung or a BlackBerry or any Android phone, download Stitcher. It's a really easy app to navigate and to listen to your podcasts.
Right.
If I wasn't doing the podcast, if I was just a listener with my Samsung phone,
there
is no way that I could have left a rating or review for our podcast.
Uh-huh.
So I could have gone onto the Facebook page and said, you know, love you, which is lovely and we love to hear it, but it doesn't help us climb up the charts.
Yes.
If you're an Android user or you're not quite au fait with iTunes, use Stitcher. You can leave us a review, you can rate us, and it helps us climb the charts, both on iTunes and Stitcher.
Okay.
Yes.
So my
does that all make sense?
That all did. So my social media pick this week was there is a fantastic podcast for copywriters.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that might seem completely random, but the reason I'm saying that is I actually think copywriting is a great gig for expat women.
Mm-hmm.
So if you do have any talent in
a
writing or editing, or you've had some experience in the past, or you want to learn about how to do it, because it doesn't matter where you are. So it's called Hot Copy, a copywriting podcast for copywriters, and it's run by a couple of women called Kate Toon and Belinda Weaver. Why is the name Belinda Weaver? Wasn't she an actress? Jackie Weaver. Okay, so no, this isn't Jackie, this is Belinda. and I think Belinda's actually an expat woman. I think she might be living in California.
Oh, wow.
And Kate is English and I believe living in Australia. But they're both copywriters and they give great tips on how to be a copywriter and finding the best copywriting tools and tricks. And they give really good podcasts, because I'm not a copywriter, but I've listened to 3 episodes so far.
And so do they then record their podcasts remotely? So one's in California and one, do they talk over the top of each other like we did when we were separated?
One of the things I would like to ask these two ladies is what they use and how they record, because it sounds really, really good.
Mm.
I know. Right. I will ask them. Now that we've talked about your podcast, ladies, maybe you can tell us what you record with.
And listen to our podcast and give us a rating.
Yes. And my other favourite one is the moth. And this is old news, but it's that classic one of what the type of podcast that I really love. Mm-hmm. It's storytelling. It's people getting up and telling stories. The couple that I've listened to, by far my favourite, was a baker who applied for a job at the White House to be the White House baker. And it is such a fantastic... I think the thing is, it's how people tell these stories that just amazes me. Some people just have this gift, haven't they?
Mm-hmm.
That if someone else told the story, it'd be like, meh.
Yeah.
But they tell it and you're absolutely in hysterics, and then you're sad, and then you're happy, and then you're having a little silent tear for them, and then you're happy again. So the Moth podcast, it's great.
Do you know why it's called The Moth?
I don't, but I do know that
it's an interesting title.
I know that all of the recordings are done live, and they're done in the States, and I know that the people that tell the stories get a little bit of help with coaching from the Moth people.
Right.
But I know it's a non-profit blog, you know, podcast that is just solely for the art of storytelling.
Oh, wow. Fantastic.
Well, I think it's a thing at the moment, isn't it? It really is. Storytelling is back.
Yeah.
And we love it. And it's amazing because while we're all hiding away on our devices more and more and more, we are growing to love being told and entertained stories.
Switching back. It's like we say that. When my dad was younger, he would listen to series on the radio.
Yes.
That's showing how old he was before the days of TV. When I used to listen to the stories on the wireless. But that's kind of like what podcasting is now, really. Yeah. It's like the reinvention of that.
Yeah, and you get to listen to what you want to listen to, not what the radio station's telling you that you have to listen to. You can pick it.
Yeah.
Okay, Cez, so we're wrapping up.
Yes.
So we'll be back. I've just realised when we come back next week, I will have had my first round of chemo. I should still have a bit of hair by then. They say it takes 10 days.
Right, okay.
So that's Wednesday. And I guess for all the lovely people who have written lovely comments and whatever, that's just keeping everyone updated.
Up to date, yes.
That's what we're
at. So you've gone through the first one. And then we're going to suss it out and see if I'm allowed to cause havoc in the I have visions of me like, sorry, excuse me, all tripped over, IV going everywhere.
Yes. All right. So we'll see
you everyone next week.
Okay. See you next week. Bye.